Casey Weston here. I'm hanging out with my dog, Donald, on Nashville Hits Collecting Dust. This is so much fun.
Hey, how are you?
I'm so good.
Casey Weston in the house. Hi.
Hello. It's good to be here, Donald.
Listen, we had the welcoming crew meet you.
Oh, it was the best welcoming crew I've ever had. I mean, was covered in kisses, guys. Let me tell you, it was wet and fluffy.
Okay,
it was dogs.
No, just, I was about to say.
I am going to tell you right now.
Yeah,
I just,
everybody's like, Donald's weird. No, they had the guys that live here in the studio. They have a little, it looks like a beagle.
Yes, it's got to be a beagle. That's a puppy?
Oh, it's a puppy.
Oh, it's going to get big.
Yeah. You're getting puppy kisses.
So. Oh, puppy kisses are the best. It wasn't puppy breath though. Mm. So that puppy must have eaten some good mints before it went for me. Thank you, puppy. Thank you for being courteous about the kissing.
I didn't know. Glad you like animals. Let's put it that way. Cause you got attacked as soon as you walked in.
Really? Mm-hmm. Before I even walked into the studio, it was like, get down here. And so I dropped the guitar, got on all fours, had some kisses.
Yeah.
And then they escorted me into the studio. It was wonderful. Wunderbar.
It's how we get everybody in the right mindset for a phenomenal podcast episode. I'm so excited that you're here. Casey Weston, I know you.
Yes.
Haven't known you that long, but I feel like I've known you
forever.
Right?
It's amazing.
I
met you. I was in a headlock within, I don't know, 2 minutes. And I thought, this is a friendship made for a lifetime, really.
You know you click when within 5 to 10 minutes you can put somebody in the headlock and it's totally cool.
It's totally cool. Yeah. Toad's cool.
Actually even accepted and wanted.
Yeah, right? I was enjoying it. I was embracing it, really. I had no other, I couldn't really struggle. I couldn't really do anything
else. You really didn't have a choice, which is the whole point.
You guys don't know this, but Donald's very buff. You can't tell on the podcast, yeah. It.
Okay, keep going.
No, son's made of steel, people.
No, with age, I tell you, it's, we're not going to get in that. This is not
all
about
right,
me.
Yeah, okay.
This is not about me. This is about you.
Okay.
So
stop talking about Amazing Donald.
I know. And I could talk all day long. I could tell your story. I could actually talk for you. What I can't do for you is sing.
Okay.
Which is why you're here.
I got a W. I'm winning.
You got it. But no, I do want, I want you to tell us, I know you, but tell the rest of the world who you are. And I know a lot of people in the world already know you.
Yeah, I mean, some people might.
Yeah.
I've been around a few places.
You're from Florida originally?
Originally an OG Florida girl.
That's right.
Naples, Florida. Casey Woods Weston, that's who I am.
OG stands for original?
Original gangster.
Yeah, just making sure.
Yeah, I just, I can't help myself. I'm straight up. No. You guys are like going to be like, who is this weirdo? But yes, that's me. Came from a family of athletes, and they are incredible people, and I have one older sister, and I always loved music. From the time I popped out, I was dancing to Casey and the Sunshine Band in my diapers on the coffee table, singing My Heart Will Go On while I made my sister hold a flashlight and everybody sit down in the living room while I put on this, like, it was like this purple sequin-y like piece of cloth, and I would make my own dresses out of it. And basically, I was Britney Spears reincarnated, I thought. And my G-mom told me, you're never going to be a pop star if you can't dance. Mm. And so, guys, I'm not a pop star because I still can't dance. Still no moves. I got the washing machine. I got like the going under scuba diving thing down. Okay. But anything else, like, nah, I'm not a dancer.
But you can play the guitar.
I can play the guitar a little bit. Yeah.
You can definitely sing.
Well, thank you, senor.
And you can definitely write.
Thank you.
And you have a ton of songs. The only stress that I have even in doing this episode in general, this whole series, is that I really have to limit it to one song per episode. But everybody that comes in here, we could do an hour of just songs
music
that you've written.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't want to be just a radio station. I mean, I'm not in the music business or anything like that because I really am passionate about the people as much as I am the songs.
Right.
But at the end of the day, you don't have the songs without the people. And
the people are why the songs exist.
Exactly. And the people that I really connect with and I know have just so much talent. And I feel like there's just not that platform for, you know, somebody to play their songs because you write so many. And I'm just lucky enough that I've lived here long enough and got to hear a lot of really cool songs. And I'm like, oh, somebody's got to share these things.
Every time you go out in Nashville, there's an incredible song that changes your life. At least for me. I remember sitting in the old listening room, the one that was down Demumbrium. Do you remember where that was?
The old listening room
when it was on that corner. I loved that place.
Yeah.
But I think
the wall. It was really big now, but comparatively.
Then, just the vibe of it, walking in, and then you're right. You can see the artist, but they don't see you walking in. Mm-hmm. So they're mostly, they were so focused on just singing to who was in front of them.
Yeah.
I thought that was awesome too, because when now, and I love the new listening room, but you watch everyone walk through the door.
Right.
And it's a different thing where you're seeing everyone come in or come out, and really it's just supposed to be about those people that are sitting right in front of you listening to the song that you created. And I was there and I listened to a song, and it's called I'm a Liar, or it's called Liar, and Eden's Edge actually recorded it. But I heard the writer sing it, and the whole room went silent, and everyone was just staring at her, almost holding their breath.
Mm-hmm.
Because they wanted to feel that truth that she said, I'm lying. I'm a liar, the biggest liar in the world. And for someone to be on stage and say that, something that they're not happy about doing,
right?
But they're being vulnerable. That just, oh man, I'll never forget that moment. It was crazy cool. Big fan.
I have experienced that so many times, and we were talking earlier, it's not that the rest of the people on stage are not unbelievably talented. There's always, or usually I should say, someone though that just stands out, which is saying a lot when it comes to where the bar is already set in Nashville.
Totally.
But you know it because, not necessarily because of the vocals or anything, but like the whole room goes silent.
There's something that happens.
Yeah.
And I think I'm all into energies and vibes. And that's why, I mean, when we met, I was like, I click with this guy. Yeah. And you don't know why you feel like you've known someone your entire life and you could just open up to them and be who you are unapologetically.
Mm.
But, you know, when somebody's up there and they just let their guard down, they let their walls down, and everyone in there can feel that, it's a shift.
Yeah.
There's an energy shift where people can't help but feel it.
Yeah.
It's like when you see someone staring at you and you're like, I know you're staring at me. Like, you can feel their eyes. It's the same when somebody sings a song that just changes the whole energy and vibe of a room.
Yeah. And you're right. And a lot has to do, especially with songwriters, when they, you know, produce that kind of atmosphere, it's just as much about the person singing as it is the song. And that's why this is not just songs.
And I love that.
I have to get to know Casey, I want to hear a little bit of your story, just background.
Yeah. Okay. Right?
And then.
So I never played music growing up. I loved it. Like I said, but I never did because I came from an athletic family. So when I picked up a guitar when I was 14, I wanted to try. I always loved to sing. As soon as I was able to play any chords, I wrote a song immediately. And then what I needed to do next, I didn't even feel like I had a choice. I had to play it for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted everyone to hear it. I needed to share it. Now that I've created something, I needed to sing it. And I would go to open mic nights every week. I would drag my friends there. It was the most exciting, fun, exhilarating thing. When I first started playing, I would stare at the ground. You couldn't understand a single word I was saying. And I still loved it. And I kept on doing it. And then eventually I looked up. And then sometimes I would look at people, and then my mom would be like, you look like a corpse on stage. You're just standing like straight up and down. And it was because I was shaking so much that I couldn't move more than just my hands, like in the guitar. Like that's all I was focusing on. And the more I played, the more I loved it, the more I opened up, and I just couldn't stop once I started. And I ended up auditioning for The Voice when I was 18.
Yeah.
And that was life-changing. It was.
Did you say that was the first season?
The first season, yeah.
So the very first season of The Voice, which was a huge hit, by the way, still is.
It is, yeah. They've done well for themselves.
But you didn't have a whole lot of history then, like, right? Because it was the first season.
No, I mean.
Just went and tried out.
There was an open audition email that I got, and my mom, I was wanting to audition for Belmont's music program as well as Berkeley. And mm-hmm. It was, you know, the end of my senior year, and I was figuring out what I wanted to do. I knew I wanted to move to Nashville. That was number one. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't sure if that was the right city. I thought Austin's cool too. I've never been, but New York City, no, I'd get eaten alive there. LA, too many sunglasses inside. So I was really trying to figure out what I needed to do, where I needed to be. And I auditioned for The Voice on a whim for fun. And my mom said, he's about to put on his sunglasses, guys. Okay. Just keep those on the whole time.
Sorry.
Just keep them on the whole time. You look so cool.
I am totally wearing my sunglasses.
I wear my sunglasses inside. But that was a fun process. I just auditioned on a whim. I sang a couple of my original songs because I can't help myself. Mm. And they asked me to come back the next day. I auditioned again and they gave me a piece of paper and said, we might call you. And I was like, see ya. That was a great first audition. Now I feel like I'm ready for Belmont's and Berkeley and see what I can do. And right. That was a positive. And they eventually called me and they said, hey, we need you in LA on Wednesday. And I said, thank you, but no thank you, because I had a show on Friday. I was opening up for John Anderson. And
wow. My
dad always taught me, you stick to your word and you just don't. You don't sway just because something else comes up, because who you are as a person and your word has to be the only thing that you have. And it pretty much is at the end of the day. And so I said, no, thank you. And I didn't know what the show was about. I didn't know it was going to be a huge hit. I was just like, thanks, but no thanks. Woo woo. And they ended up calling back and said, well, you know, we usually don't do this, but if you don't mind missing the few first days of all the information, you can fly in on Saturday, but we're going to pick you up and you're going to audition right in front of Mark Burnett. Mm. And I said, all right, cool. Cause I didn't even know who he was. I mean, my mom loves Survivor, but I didn't really, who knows? And so, I flew to LA. One of the first times I ever flown by myself. I didn't know, I was stressed out. I had my guitar and it was like my child and I didn't want to put it underneath the plane. Cause everyone told me these horror stories of what happens to your guitar. And it's basically my little girl and I'm feeling all these feelings. And I got off the plane, put my hair in some pigtails. They picked me up, drove me there. I was hoping it wasn't human trafficking and ended up at a good place. It wasn't something bad and auditioned and the rest was kind of history.
Oh my gosh. And well, no. Not really history.
It's my past.
All right. So, but what was your songs that you played?
When I first auditioned? I sang If I Die Young, and then I sang Hey Soul Sister, I sang Stupid Boy, and then I sang some original songs too. And the audition in front of Mark was Stupid Boy. I sang and played guitar doing that. And when I actually auditioned the blind audition, I sang Stupid Boy and the capo, because you have to give your guitar to somebody else. They give it to you once you get on stage. And they did that probably because of the fact that I fell so much. I told you, I just smacked my head here in the studio, like really bad. I was like so peppy that I went up and smacked my head. And Donald was like, how did you hit that? Like I've walked through this door a couple of times already, but just that time I got lucky.
Yeah. Well, okay.
But anyway, so I was auditioning, like when I was going up on stage for the blind auditions, I was so excited to get up these stairs that I just kind of got ahead of myself and whoosh, I hit down and there was a camera actually following you up from behind. Mm. So everyone can just kind of picture that embarrassment that I had right before they handed me my guitar and the capo was in the wrong spot. So I started singing the whole song, like the first half out of key completely.
Wait, during the audition?
During the blind audition.
Did you adjust or?
I adjusted eventually, but I mean, not fast enough.
Oh.
I mean, Adam still turned around. Thank you. But I mean.
They let you just start over?
No, I didn't. I just kept on going and then eventually found a good spot to be. But I like when you're used to singing a song in a certain key and when you strum it, I was so nervous that I didn't even check to see if it was in the right spot. They handed me my guitar and I was like, all right, here we go. And then as soon as my first few notes came out, I was like, oh no, hey, mayday, mayday.
That could throw somebody off.
Oh, it threw me off. But eventually I found the right spot and he did turn around.
That's awesome.
But it sounded not so pretty. Let me tell you folks, people were like, why did he turn around for her? That girl doesn't even know what she's singing.
Well, maybe there was a uniqueness.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
He was like, hey, look at this spin.
It was so off that something might be, it was quite right.
Well, so a good experience, right?
Yeah, I learned so much. I never thought I would be on a reality TV show, nor did I ever want to be on a reality TV show.
Yeah.
Trying out for it on a whim was, you know, interesting because when people say you never know what one decision is going to do, that one decision to just audition for fun, JFF, just for fun, just changed everything. Yeah. And I went from being this young girl in Southwest Florida that was making her own way, singing at bars and grills 3 hours a night, going to festivals all around Florida, trying to open up for anybody I could. I had a lot of cool opportunities, opened up for Craig Morgan, opened up for Justin Moore in his beginning of his career, opened up for Big and Rich a little bit ago. And I've kept on going.
Right.
And every little opportunity I am grateful for, right, if it's little or small. And after the show, there was the, okay, so you're signed and life's amazing and you're making it. And I said, I was just on a reality TV show. I was just singing some songs, right, and like trying to get people to vote for me. That's all.
Yeah.
I wasn't even singing songs that I wrote.
Yeah.
And that's why I started playing guitar, not to sing other people's songs,
right,
because I had something to say. And so after the show, I just went and moved to Nashville immediately. And I moved into a one bedroom apartment on West End. And it was really hard because I left my family, I left all my friends, and I started going out on the road in a car that had no four wheel drive and no snow tires. And I was up in the Northeast during a lot of the winter, mm-hmm, and just almost killed myself every 5 seconds because I didn't know you're not supposed to brake. And I found that out right before I went into like four lanes of traffic. Oh man, I got so lucky. That well, was God. Let's, that let's was God.
It, I mean, we're still kind of learning how to walk.
Me, for sure. I mean, you saw that. You saw that in person. He was like, what just hit? I was like, it was just my head. Oh, no big gosh. Deal.
That's funny.
It's really hardened after all the hits.
Well, you say you learned a lot, and it was a great experience. And I know a lot of people, you know, on the outside looking in, I was like, she's made it. But you learned a lot of, you know, maybe what you even didn't know.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like, gosh, I didn't even know what I didn't know.
I couldn't, you know, even imagine. And even being on the show, everything that I learned on it, and then everything that I still didn't know.
Yeah.
I was just so blown away.
You were, what, 18?
18. Mm-hmm. And not coming from Southwest Florida, yeah, no music people in my family ever. I mean, we just didn't know what the music business was about. I mean, who does? And yeah, so when you go
I'm not sure if the music business now knows what the music business is.
I think everybody's just kind of like, alrighty then, let's, yeah, put this song out. This sounds good, right? But that's the kind of the coolness of that is there's no formula, yeah, about music. And I always tell people all the time, music is opinionated. So somebody might like death metal rock and,
yeah,
I might like Joni Mitchell. It's just, and they're probably not going to like listening to Joni as much as I would.
Right.
And that's simple as that. And so music at the end of the day, what's somebody's cup of tea isn't everybody's.
That's right. And I can respect talent. That's why I am a music fan. Don't get me wrong. I love music.
Yeah.
But I really am passionate about the people that are here pursuing music. That's right. What I'm fascinated about. And the perk, I started telling stories 3 or 4 years ago and I called it making it happen.
Right.
Because I was really just wanting to know, how are you making it happen? It wasn't really always about being rich, famous, or, you know, whatever. Sometimes it was trying to figure out how to get out of bed and put one foot in front of the other.
Sometimes that is it.
Let's
especially
be
real for here. Me. Oh, gosh.
But yeah, so it was always about how are you creating that next song,
right,
when you just created one yesterday, or how are you overcome that rejection, right,
over and over again?
Yeah. Or persevere, or, you know, overcome the fear, right, that you had, so nervous, but like you have to do it.
Right.
And that's what I'm just so intrigued. I'm an entrepreneur as well. I just don't create music, but I am passionate about the people that pursue a dream and figure it out.
And that's it. I mean, it's passion. I've had many, many, many young women, young boys ask me, you know, if I want to do this, what do I have to do? Mm. And I said, simple as this. You have to love it.
Mm.
Because, yeah,
because it's a lifestyle.
It is. It is a sacrifice. It's as much as it's wonderful. I mean, I gave up so much growing up. Not so much. I mean, I loved what I did, but,
yeah,
my friends were going to football games and this and that. And I was singing at bars and grills. And, you know, my boyfriend, he wasn't my boyfriend no more, but, you know, he was the star of the football team. And so badly did I want to see him. Like, yeah, when everybody said, oh my gosh, he did so good tonight. And I wanted to be there.
Right.
Because I was a young woman and that was my boyfriend and I wanted to go. But I knew that what I loved and what I was passionate about and what really filled me up and gave me a purpose and just was who I was.
Yeah.
I was working towards that. And giving up so much is not an easy thing for people to do because it's not easy to give up.
But it's not always convenient.
Oh, it's definitely not convenient. It's not the most convenient thing ever, but it's wonderful when you love it because every single time someone comes up to you and says, this song made a difference or this album changed my life, that's worth everything, everything.
I agree with you, and you can tell the difference, obviously, and the people that are genuinely, you know, passionate about it and others that may just be doing it for a very surface level.
Right.
You can tell.
I was talking about that earlier. There's some rounds that I'll go to and I'll see someone sing a song and I just want to shake them and tell them, you don't have to do that. Like, I can see that that's not you. I mean, you're hiding something. I want to know you because you could be awesome sauce and you are. They've got talent. No one up on stages in Nashville isn't talented. I mean, it's...
What was that one time that I tried to karaoke in Nashville? That was, I think...
I'm sure I can find a video of that.
I'm pretty sure that was the only time that talent did not get on the stage in Nashville.
Please.
I'm really... Well, it was talent, all right. It was talent at making a fool out of myself, so...
And that is a talent, darling. Well, I crush it in that arena.
And I do it well. I do it well.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, you are a blast. You and I could do this for 4 hours, but I do have to hear a song. I have to hear one that... You know, maybe one of your favorites that you've written. Tell us the story behind it. And then I just want everybody to hear you sing it.
Okay. Well, okay. This song, I was going to play a different one, but I've decided because I have ADHD and I just decide like last minute what I'm going to play.
Yeah.
But this song is a song called Highlight Reel. And I wrote it about an ex I had. And at the time, I was putting out into the world that I was so very happy and that it was wonderful. And it wasn't that wasn't what it was. What I put out in the pictures showing I was happy wasn't the reality. And I remember talking in the song about a guy that I really, really felt love with. It was maybe fleeting. It was a shooting star kind of romance. It was over before it started kind of thing, but it was real. And then I looked back at the pictures of him and I, but even if it was real for him, it might've not been even if it was real for me, it might not have been real for him, which is why it ended up ending. And so this was about him seeing the guy that I really was in love with, seeing me pretending to be in love with somebody else. And so it's called Highlight Reel.
Awesome.
Got his arms wrapped around me tight. In front of the Acme restaurant sign, kissing my cheek like he's into me, and I'm throwing a peace sign. Artistic angle, just our feet standing on Panama City Beach. Heart in the sand, shadow of hands. I wonder how it makes you feel. But the highlight reel ain't real. I'm not doing fine. I let you see my smile, but hide the tears I cry. The pictures tell. Protecting who now? I think I was a little loud in some parts, so I was like trying to get away from the mic.
No, I had chills the whole time. You have to picture this, like I'm sitting directly across from her, so she's kind of singing to me.
It's definitely towards you, yeah, for towards sure. Me.
And it's a very powerful. Either way, it's a great song, but it's definitely one of those songs like I think everybody can relate to.
Yeah, I mean,
let's face it. How many of us have been on a trip, right? Data what? And your social media just shows a different picture than what you really had.
Oh yeah, like we were fighting the whole time. You know, whatever it was, like yes. I'm making that up. But I mean, you could those things where you're with someone and you don't show the bad parts. Nobody wants to show the bad parts. Mm-mm. And so that highlight reel, no one's ever gonna be able to say, "Hey, like let's get you out of that." If you don't show them the wounds sometimes and like the things that hurt and being vulnerable and me saying, you know, the highlight reel, it ain't real.
Yeah.
And admitting to people, guess what? I'm not doing fine.
Well, you know, the song, the lyrics combined with your voice, phenomenal.
Phenomenal. Thank you. I can't help but doing that.
Thank you. By the way, she has her own language.
I do.
Create her own words.
Mm-hmm. Like if I don't know somebody's name, I'll just call them Hoosie Pot. Like Hoosie Pot, you know, and we call the TV remote a Duber. Does anybody else call it that?
No.
No? Okay. Just me then. Okay. All
I'm actually going to quit talking now and you just take over.
All right.
Oh my gosh. Well, thanks so much for coming in. Will you come back, hang out?
Absolutely, darling.
If not, you know, I'll put you in a headlock again.
You better do that regardless. You could try some other like wrestling moves if I really didn't come.
Well, hey, I'm excited. I could have you play five more, but I'm not.
Okay.
I'm just going to have to cut it off here and then beg you to come back and do another one.
I'm down.
You know, really, you could come back 100 more times because I know that's how many songs you have.
I would love to. There's so many songs in one player. It's like
there's
crazy.
There's so many songs. You know, I get that I'm biased, and really,
I like that you admit that.
I am. Well, because I think this is such a great idea because I enjoy it so much. It's really not about me. I mean, it's really about promoting you guys and the songs. I will say the frustrating part about it, which is why I started this in the first place, was that I got to hear these and I'm like, how is that not a hit or how is it not cut?
Or how is it that most people are never going to hear that song?
Hear it, right.
Yes. It's tragedy.
Right. So the frustration still continues though. Cause while I am allowing that opportunity, I know you have 100 more and I can't.
You're twerking on it, darling. You're doing your best. Okay. I'm excited that I was on here this one time and I can't wait to come back again and again. There better be dogs every time to greet me licking.
That was a good touch.
It was so good. I was so happily surprised.
I know.
Well, Casey Weston,
come back real quick, just so people can hear you live or find you. Mm-hmm. Like how do they find you?
I'm on all social media. So basically, you know, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter.
Just under your name.
Casey Weston. Yeah. And I do talk about dogs a lot. Yeah. And there is some music in there too.
Well, hey, go check her out, guys. She's obviously very talented. You will not be disappointed, I promise. But I'm going to have her back anyway. Thanks.
Thank you, Donald.
There you go.
This has been Hits Collecting Dust. Please support this podcast and the artists featured by going to iTunes, subscribing, and leaving us a review.